Well, thanks, Jack. The most popular verse in the Bible. Wow. That means we all come with some expectation of our understanding of what we're going to hear. So pray with me that we'll hear what God wants us to hear and be able to block out our own expectations. God, this is a difficult passage to preach on because we know it so well. So God, we pray for freshness. We pray for a new understanding. We pray for our eyes to see this maybe as if for the first time. So lead us, guide us, show us what you want us to see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to deal with just a little bit more than just John 3:16. I'm going to try to deal with the whole passage. So to kind of get at that, let me ask if you've ever walked into a situation or a meeting of some kind where you're kind of blown away, where you sort of were expecting one thing, but you got something totally different. Let me give you a few for instances. The other day I was delivering produce, which is my other job, into the city, and it's interesting because you walk into the back door of a restaurant and you never know what you're going to get. And this day, you know, I just assume I'm going to bring in my produce, drop it off, say hello to a few people, get a signature, and go. But I walked in to somebody's huge argument. They were fighting before I got there, and I tell you, you could cut it with a knife. The air was just so thick there. It blew me away. I didn't know what to do. I said hello, and I just got these funny stares and these glowers. And then when I went out and brought more back in, you could tell they had talked in between again. And it was just sort of this weird situation that I walked into that I didn't expect. There was another time, a few years back, Ruth and I were working in Grand Rapids in a church, and we knew they didn't like our emphasis on the community, and we knew they were a little bit troubled with my preaching, so we knew that the board wanted to have this conversation with us. What we didn't know was when we walked in the room, they were already having a conversation about how to get rid of us. And it was like, you know, we thought we were trying to figure a way forward, and we were already on the way out. It blew us away. And then, just so you get the feel of what I'm talking about, I think you do, but I have one more instance written down. I did construction in Grand Rapids. I managed the rehab of houses. And I was on this project, and I had brought the city inspectors in time and time again, you know, at the right time to get all the right inspections so you can keep moving forward. But I got a call from another inspector who was filling in for someone else. And he said, can you meet me at the site, which was fine. They do that all the time. We were well into this project. We had reconstructed part of the house, put a new porch on. The roof was on. The windows were in. The siding was finished. And he calls me and says, you have to take that porch off. I walked into this meeting thinking, okay, he may have some little thing. He wanted me to completely reconstruct the house. I can tell you the conclusion of that later. We didn't have to do it, but it's the idea of walking into something, thinking you're going into this, and you get that, and it kind of blows you away. You don't know what to do. You're kind of knocked on your heels for a minute, trying to adjust, trying to figure out a way to move forward. We're going to read John chapter 3 this morning. And it's a familiar passage, but it's within the whole story of Jesus and Nicodemus. And in some ways, what I was just describing is what Jesus does to Nicodemus. Because Nicodemus comes because he's heard about Jesus. He knows Jesus is doing these wonderful miracles and he's teaching this great stuff. And Nicodemus even acknowledges that, you know, unless this was a person from God, he couldn't be doing this. So he's interested. He wants to go and see. He wants to go and hear. He wants to talk to Jesus. But Jesus sets him on his heels. Keep that in the back of your mind as we read, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. Jesus blows Nicodemus out of the water. Nicodemus came expecting to have an intellectual conversation, expecting to learn a little bit more, and Jesus hits him with something else. What is that? What are we looking at? So let's read John 3, 1 to 21. Do I dare read it from up there? We'll try. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who's come from God, for no one could perform the signs you're doing if God were not in him." Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again." "How can someone be born again when they're old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they can't enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sounds, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I've spoken to you of earthly things, and you don't believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one's ever gone to heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus. He saw what Jesus was doing. He heard what Jesus was teaching. He admitted that Jesus had to have some connection to God, and he wants to know more. He wants to see this spectacle that is Jesus. He's searching for intellectual answers. He's exploring what this thing is. That's why he comes. That's how he comes to Jesus, wanting to figure Jesus out. And Jesus invites him to believe. Jesus sort of says to him, you know what? There's nothing to see here. There's nothing to learn here. There's nothing to understand. There's no secret password or no secret handshake that I'm going to give you. You have to believe. Jesus blows Nicodemus out of the water. That isn't what he expected. He expected an argument. He expected a discussion. He expected to go back and forth with Jesus and gain some understanding of what was going on here. And Jesus says, Nicodemus, believe. Believe. What is Jesus saying? What is Jesus talking about? What is Jesus inviting Nicodemus into? Well, let's look at what Jesus means when he says, believe. There's several pieces to Jesus' understanding of belief. The first is that belief is from God. He says you have to be born from above. You have to be born of the Spirit. You have to be born again. That's the same language as believe. You have to have your understanding reshaped just as if you were starting all over again. The only way you get that is from God. You can't manufacture it. You can't argue it. You can't learn it. It is a gift from God. Belief comes from God. It's like the wind, says Jesus. It's like the wind. Who knows where the wind starts? We know what generates winds and how storms and pressure and things like that, but where does it start? Is there a point somewhere down the road back over there where we can say, that's where the wind started? We can't figure that out. We don't know where the wind starts. But if you walked outside this week at all, you know the wind, right? You felt the cold. You felt its power. You knew that the wind was there, even though you have no idea where it started. Belief is like that, says Jesus. You don't know where it starts. God gives it to you. God is the origin of belief. We don't know where that is, but we surely know its power. When you believe, you know that you believe. Belief comes from God, says Jesus. Jesus is telling Nicodemus, surrender. That's the starting point of belief. It isn't arguing, it isn't understanding, it's surrender. It's letting God speak to you, hearing the voice of God, knowing that God is real. Letting God do what only God can do, move in to your life and mine. Surrender and let God do his work. Surrender and invite God in. That's the first step of belief. The next thing Jesus says about belief is that you need to embrace it. Yes, it's a gift from God, but you need to embrace it, Nicodemus. To make this point, Jesus tells this story very briefly. He alludes to the story of Moses raising up a serpent in the wilderness. What's that all about? The people of Israel are out in the desert. God has delivered them from generations of slavery. He has taken them out of Egypt, where they were Egypt's slaves, where they built the entire nation of Egypt up, where they did all the hard work of making bricks. God delivered them, brought them out of that situation. And on the way out, he gave this cloud and this pillar of fire to lead them and to protect them. And that pillar of fire kept Egypt away from Israel. Because at night when Egypt changed its mind to come after Israel, God set that pillar of fire between Egypt and Israel, and he protected Israel. And then the next day, the pillar of fire turned into the cloud, and the cloud led Israel through the Red Sea that had parted for them. And Israel saw this, and they saw God deliver them through the Red Sea, and then they saw him let the water fall back down and swallow up Pharaoh and his whole army. They saw that. They saw God's protection. They saw God's deliverance. And then when they got out in the desert and they were hungry, God gave them food to eat. He gave them manna. Every single morning it was there on the ground, food for them to eat. They saw what God was doing. And yet, they get to this point in the desert where it seems like they're just kind of wandering in circles, where it seems like they can't get to their destination. They keep going around. They keep getting diverted. And finally they say to God, "Why? Why did you bring us out here? We could have died in Egypt. We could have lived better in Egypt than this." And then they have the audacity. They have the audacity to say God's provision of manna, they call it a useless thing. Go back to Numbers. I can't remember the chapter right now, but read that story again. Israel is so upset with God that they call the food that they eat useless, worthless. And God gets angry with them. And God punishes them. God sends serpents to bite them. Bites that kill them. And all of a sudden, Israel's sorry. And Israel repents. And Israel asks for forgiveness. And God says to them, "Moses is going to put a serpent, a bronze serpent up on a pole. If you look at that serpent, you will be healed." There's no power in that serpent. There's no magic in looking at that serpent. What God was saying to Israel was, believe. Finally now, believe. I'm telling you that this will save your life. If you do what I say, you will live. But he's calling them to more than just looking at the snake. He wants them to see that he delivered them from Egypt. He wants them to see his protecting hand. He wants them to see his provision. He wants Israel to know that he's keeping his promise to the whole world, to bless the whole world, to fix the whole world. God's plan from the time of Abraham to make everything right is being worked out, and that's what God wants Israel to see. God's being faithful, Israel. Look at it, see it, believe it. Believe that this God is taking care of you. Embrace that. Grab hold of that. That's what Jesus is saying belief is all about. Just as Moses did that in the wilderness, so the Son of Man has to be lifted up. Look to the Son of Man. Look for the love of God, the love that is so great that he would give his one and only Son to forgive us of all of our sins. Don't just see it, believe it. Don't just see Jesus hanging on a cross. Believe that the Son of God died for your sins. Don't just see Jesus in a grave. Believe that Jesus died for our forgiveness. Don't just see Jesus risen. Believe that he is the Lord of all, the Lord of heaven and earth. Believe. Grab hold of it. Belief is a gift of God. But you and I and Nicodemus need to grab hold of that. We need to grab hold of who God is. We need to believe it with our whole heart. We need to shape our lives around that truth. That's what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus and to us. We need to embrace. We need to embrace the truth. We need to embrace our belief. It's not just looking at it, not just seeing it. It's not just an intellectual exercise. It is an exercise of the heart, of claiming God to be our Lord and our God and loving him with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now the next piece of belief that Jesus refers to. It's the only way. It's the only way. Belief is from God, and we need to embrace it. But we also need to know that belief is the only way. The scripture passage says, this is the human condition. All of us are perishing, condemned, and stuck in darkness. That's where we are. If you're human, that's where you are, Jesus says. That's just us. That's a result of our sin. That's the result of what happened in the garden with Adam and Eve. We're all perishing, all condemned, all stuck in darkness. Believing is the only way out, says Jesus. Believers don't perish. Believers aren't condemned. Believers are coming out of darkness. Jesus says, believe. Jesus isn't just a good teacher. Jesus isn't just a good moral example like some would have us believe. Jesus says, you have to believe me because I am the love of God made flesh. I am your salvation. I am your only way out. That's what belief is about. It's about escaping condemnation. It's about not perishing. It's about coming to the light. Believe, says Jesus. That's your only hope. That's the only way. And then one final thing Jesus says about believing. Belief transforms. Belief changes things. Verse 21 talks about coming out of darkness and God being seen in the deeds of his people. Belief is a journey. Belief is a coming out of darkness. It is an escaping of condemnation. Sometimes I get a little confused on that because I think belief is kind of like a door, right? I open the door and I walk through and I believe. That's it, right? Jesus is saying something different. Jesus wants Nicodemus and us to understand that belief is more like a journey than a door. Belief is moving toward the light. Coming out of darkness, letting the light shine on more and more and more of who we are so that we become more and more like Christ in everything we do. Letting the light shine on our private life. Letting the light shine on our business activity, on our work activity. Letting the light shine on our neighbors through us. Coming out of darkness. That's the journey of belief that God has us on through Jesus Christ. But it's even more than that. It's more than us changed on the inside, because as we're being changed on the inside, God has our deeds impacting the world around us, and the world sees who God is by those deeds. Where there's injustice, we stand up against it. Where there's wrong, we seek to make it right. Where there's hurt, we bring the healing love of Jesus Christ. Belief is more than just walking through a door. It's a transformation of us from the inside out, and then of the world all around us, every piece of it being transformed through our interaction with it. Us becoming more Christ-like, and the world coming under the lordship of Jesus Christ, the King of heaven and earth. So what does this look like? Brass tacks, right? I sat in a meeting, a church meeting, I'm sorry to say. I sat in a church meeting not that long ago where one person was behaving really badly. She wasn't listening to what anyone else was saying. She was confronting all the things that she didn't like, and she refused to hear anyone's explanation of anything. We sat there for 3 hours trying to move forward, and it seemed like when we got there, we were further back than when we had started. So the next day, we took her aside and we said, "What's going on?" And she said, "That's just who I am. Don't expect me to change." Part of me resonates with that because I'm getting older. And the older I get, the more I say that kind of thing myself. You know what? I've lived a lot of years. And you young guys, you should change for me. That's just the way I am. Has anybody else ever thought that way? Yeah, a few, okay. So here's the shocker. Here's Jesus blowing you and me away this morning. Jesus says, believe. Believe who I am. Believe what I've done. Embrace that belief. It is your only way out. And then expect that I'm going to transform you. Expect that when you wake up in the morning and you're praying to me, it's not just going to be all glory, hallelujahs, and thank yous. It's going to be me saying to you, you need to work on this today. Your character is not what I want it to be in this area. Your interaction in your business is not up to snuff in my mind. He's going to transform you and me in every aspect of who we are. That's what belief is all about. And as he transforms us, and we get together and pool our energy, he's going to change the world around us. Injustice does not stand a chance in the face of the Church of Jesus Christ working under the power of the Holy Spirit. Wrongs will be righted in our society. Things that seem intransigent, things that we think can't change, the power of Jesus Christ can change, and he will change, and he'll do it through you and me as we are transformed by his power and by his Spirit. You didn't come to hear that this morning, did you? Jesus blows us away with that. That's what he wants to do. He wants us to walk out of here blown away by the idea of what belief is. Belief in what he's done. Belief in who he is. Belief that he'll keep all of his promises. And belief that he will make us into the people he wants us to be. And he will change the world through us. Amen. Amen. Shall we pray? Lord God, as your people, we say, I believe. God, some may be here this morning. And they may be on that introductory, in that introductory phase to you. So God, if there's anyone here who's just beginning to say, I believe, God, work your miracle in them. Bring about belief because you're the only one that can do that. And we trust you for that. And God, we can all think of people in our lives that we want to believe, that we want to know you, that whose lives we would love to see changed by your love. God, we pray that you'll work your miracle. Work it in us. Work it through us. God, help us to see what you have done. Help us to sing your praises. Help our lives, our hearts, our whole being to be changed by who you are, by knowing your goodness and your love. God, help us to cling to you, the only hope we have in the world. And then God, change us, rearrange us, make us into the people you want us to be. Help us. Help us in our deeds to show that you are Lord and let the world see it. Where there's hurt, bring your healing. Where there's doubt and fear, bring your hope. Where there's confusion, bring your wisdom and your guidance and your protection and love, and bring it through us. Change us, Lord, but change your world through us as well. Let us be your instruments of peace and restoration and hope and healing. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
May I lead you in a congregational prayer. God, Lord, and our Savior, you are the creator of the universe. You have made so many different plants that they cannot be contained in a single book. The stars we see in the night sky are uncountable. In awe and wonder, we look at the depth of your creation and the love you have put into it. Your word tells that you care more deeply for each one of us, so much that you sent your son to die in our place, so that one day we will live with you in heaven. Praise be to your name, O Lord. We thank you that Pastor Steve can bring your word to us this morning. We pray that your message will be with us this week in our daily tasks and that we will be renewed by it. We thank you that Pastor Doug can take some time off with his family. We pray that he will be re-energized by it as well as a time for making great memories with his family. Lord, we ask that you encourage all those who bring your word to your people on this day, whether that is here in Richmond Hill or the far reaches of this earth, that you will be praised and glorified throughout the world. We pray for the millions around the world who flee their homes because it is not safe, who have been traumatized because of violence they have seen and endured. Refugee camps continue to spring up and fill up throughout the world where people have known nothing else but that camp. Where hope seems to be fleeting, come, Lord Jesus, end this misery that man has inflicted on these people. We give thanks, God, that our refugee family is doing well. We pray that volunteers will be willing to come forward to help them in this new culture and navigate its differences that they may encounter and just befriend them. We give thanks with Phil and Janetta that you have provided a good harvest for the people they are working with. In Tanzania, we ask that consistent rains will continue this rainy season, that the harvest may continue. Thank you for the good leadership in the health center that Janetta works at. We ask for continued safety on the roads there as they travel through that region. We give thanks that John Jansen is out of ICU and able to begin to eat and speak again. We continue in the healing process in his life, Lord. Sustain John and Nell at this time. And we give thanks that Martin will be able to get a wheelchair this week and that this will help both him and Thea. Continue to give Thea the strength and the patience as she looks after Martin. We also pray for Brenda's brother Greg that the new treatment of chemo will kill the cancer cells that seem to keep growing. Also, Lord, we ask that you will give him peace and courage and strength to fight this. Thanks for our leaders who help out in our youth programs and that they may enjoy this small break as well as renew their joy in what they do. We give thanks that we have a youth pastor that has this boundless energy, but is also able to share his love for you with our youth and the young people in the community. Through Pastor Jack, they can see that it is rewarding to be a follower of Jesus. Dear Father, we want to pray that Canada will be a country that honors and serves God, that Canada will be a nation which demonstrates righteousness, justice, compassion, and generosity, that the Holy Spirit will bring a spirit of individual and national repentance across our land, that individual and leaders will seek and demonstrate forgiveness, that Canada will be a nation of diverse people accepting, forgiving, sharing, and working together for a better Canada, that Christians would both have grace and courage to be bold. We pray for the spiritual strength of the nation and all its leaders. Lord, this is our prayer, that our love will flourish and that we will not only love much but well. Live a life that Jesus will be proud of, bountiful in fruits from the soul, making Jesus Christ attractive to all, getting everyone involved in the glory and praise of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.